inspector mumbled something incomprehensible. At last he finished and pushed the bag back across the table toward Amanda. "There you go, Ms. Cunningham. Sorry to have delayed you. I'm just doing my job, miss." Amanda thanked him politely as she zipped her bag shut and hefted it to her shoulder. Pancho saw that the inspector couldn't help but stare at Mandy's expansive chest. Even in a standard-issue flight suit, she looks sexy. Visibly working up his courage, the inspector said, "Ms. Cunningham, could I take you out to dinner sometime while you're here?" He made a sweaty smile. "To, make up for inconveniencing you and all." Mandy smiled sweetly at him. "Why, that would be lovely. Call me, won't you?"
"I sure will."
Pancho seethed as the two of them left the customs station and headed for one of the electric carts that carried new arrivals through the tunnel from the spaceport into the underground city.
"He asked me to dinner when I was alone, but with bimbo boobs here, he never even saw me. I could have carried the whole Eiffel Tower up here and he wouldn't have noticed."
The message light was blinking on their phone by the time they got to the quarters they were sharing. When Pancho had first come to work for Astro Manufacturing 4 years earlier, pilots still got private quarters when they worked on the moon. Not anymore. The rumor back at La Guajira was that Randolph was going to rent a dormitory area for the spacecraft pilots and crews.
"Why not just fire all of us?" Pancho wondered.
If Randolph had any real sense, he'd talk the IAA into getting rid of their stupid regulations about keeping human crews aboard the ships.
"Yeah, fine," she answered herself. "Then what do? Get a job as a mission controller? Fat chance."
As soon as they opened the door to their quarters, they saw the phone blinking on the nightstand between their two beds. Amanda dropped her bag on the floor. It landed with a gentle lunar thump as Mandy stretched out on the bed and put the handset to her ear. With a surprised look on her face, Mandy held the phone out to Pancho.
"It's for you," she said, as if she didn't really believe it.
Pancho took the handset and saw on the phone's tiny console screen that the caller was Martin Humphreys. Rather than activate the speaker, Pancho put the handset to her ear.
"Pancho, is that you?"
Humphreys' voice said, sounding annoyed. "You're standing outside the camera view." She stepped between the beds and swiveled the phone console.
"It's me,"
she said, sitting on the bed opposite the one Mandy lay upon.
"I heard that Randolph sent you up here,"
Humphreys said, "but I had to learn it from another source. I haven't heard a peep from you in months." With a glance at Mandy, who was watching her with intense curiosity, Pancho replied guardedly,
"Well, I'm here now."
"Who answered the phone? You're not alone, are you?"
"Nope.
I'm here with Mandy Cunningham." "She's an Astro employee, too?"
"That's right."
Mandy was straining to see Humphrey's face, but Pancho kept the phone turned away from her.
"Well, I've got to talk to you. I've been paying you for information, but so far I've gotten nothing from you but a big, fat silence."
Pancho made a smile.
"Well, I'd love to see you, too. I've got a lot to tell you."
Humphrey snapped. "All right, get down here right away."
"You want me to come to dinner?"
Pancho replied pleasantly. "Dinner?" Humphreys glanced at his wrist.
"All right, in 2 hours."
"Tonight?" Pancho cooed.
"That'll be just fine. I'll see you at 1900, okay?"
7 o'clock, Humphreys said. "Sharp."
"I'll be there."
Pancho hung up the phone and said to Amanda,
"I'll use the shower first, Mandy. I've got a dinner date."
She left Mandy standing by the bed, staring at her with wide-eyed astonishment.
Martin Humphreys clicked his phone off and stretched back in his recliner. Maybe she's smarter than I gave her credit for. She hasn't gotten in touch with me before this because she doesn't want to get caught. Okay, that's reasonable. She's being cautious. She's been surrounded by Randolph's people all the time. There's even somebody in her quarters with her. Humphreys broke into a satisfied grin. Randolph's making his people double up to save money. He's on the ropes and he thinks I'm going to save him from bankruptcy. He laughed aloud. Me, the savior of Dan Randolph. He was still giggling when he put through his call to Nobuhiko Yamagata. The head of Yamagata Industries was in his Tokyo office from the looks of it. Humphreys could see through the window behind Yamagata several construction cranes and the spidery steelwork of new towers going up, rebuilding from the last earthquake. They'd better build stronger, he thought grimly. A lot stronger. Mr. Yamagata, Humphrey said, nodding his head once in imitation of a polite bow. It's good of you to take the time to talk with me. He thought about putting Yamagata's image on the wall screen, but that would make the Japanese look too big. He preferred the smaller desktop screen. Mr. Humphreys, said Nobo, nearly 3 seconds later, barely dipping his chin. It is always a pleasure to converse with you. Blasted bullshit, Humphreys thought. You can't come right out and say what you want with these Japs. You have to make polite fucking conversation for half an hour before you can get down to business. To his surprise, though, Yamagata said, Dan Randolph has asked me to invest in a new venture. Let me guess, Humphreys said. He wants to build a fusion rocket system. Again the wait for the microwaves to reach Tokyo and return. Yes, to go out to the asteroid belt and begin developing the resources there. And what will be your answer to him? Once Yamagata heard Humphrey's question, his normally impassive face showed a tick of annoyance. I will be forced to tell him that Yamagata Industries is fully committed to rebuilding the cities that were damaged so heavily by the tsunamis and earthquakes. We have no funds to spare on space developments. Good, said Humphreys. Yamagata seemed to freeze into stone. At last he murmured, It will be as we agreed. You'd like to help him, wouldn't you? The seconds stretched. At last Yamagata said, He is an old friend. You two were competitors at one time. Yamagata Industries no longer has any operations in space, the Japanese said slowly. All of our energies are devoted to terrestrial developments. So I understand. But I agree with Dan. The resources from space can be of vital importance to our rebuilding efforts. I think so, too. Yamagata seemed to be searching Humphrey's eyes, trying to penetrate to his secret thoughts. Then why do you insist that I refuse to help him? You misunderstand me, Humphrey said, putting on an expression of injured integrity. I want Randolph to succeed. I intend to fund his fusion rocket venture myself. Yes, so I understand, said Yamagata, once Humphrey's answer reached him. What I do not understand is why you pressured me to refuse Dan. Could you help him if you wish? Yamagata hesitated, but at last replied, I could put together $2 billion for him. Without hurting your rebuilding projects? The hesitation was longer this time. There would be some repercussions. But I can provide the funding, and you don't have to take a penny from your existing projects. Yamagata said nothing for many long moments. Then, you have put considerable pressure on the banks to make certain that I do not fund Dan Randolph. I want to know why. Because I believe the same as you do, Humphreys replied earnestly, that all of Japan's resources of capital and manpower should be devoted to rebuilding your nation. This fusion rocket venture is very speculative. Suppose it doesn't work, the money will be wasted. Yet you are willing to risk your own money. I have the money to risk, Humphreys said. After an even longer pause, Yamagata said, You could invest that $2 billion in Japan. You could help to house the homeless and feed the hungry. You could assist us to rebuild our cities. Humphreys worked hard to avoid grinning. Now I've got the little bugger, he told himself. To Yamagata, he said, Yes, you're right. Tell you what I'll do. I'll give Randolph $1 billion only and invest the other billion in Yamagata Industries. How's that? The Japanese industrialist's eyes flickered when he heard Humphrey's words. He sucked in a deep, shrill breath. Would you be willing to invest your billion in the Renew Nippon Fund? That's essentially a charity, isn't it? It is a non-profit organization dedicated to helping those who have been displaced by our natural disasters. This time, Humphreys hesitated, paused, let Yamagata believe that he was thinking it over before he came to a decision. The damn fool thinks he's so fucking smart keeping me from putting any money into his own corporation. Okay, keep me shut out from your company. I'll get you sooner or later. With as much of a show of concern as he could muster, Humphreys said, Mr. Yamagata, if you think that's the best way for me to help Japan, then that's what I'll do. $1 billion for Randolph and $1 billion for the Renew Nippon Fund. Yamagata was actually smiling as they ended their conversation. Once he had switched off the phone, Humphreys burst into enormously satisfied laughter. They're all